Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for November 17th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is roving reporter Jim Allen in cyberspace. How you doing, buddy? Good morning.
Call me Rover, baby.
Don't land on a comet. Don't land on a comet, bud. Just come back. Come back safely.
I will. I will avoid landing on comets. Excellent advice. I remember that one.
Excellent advice, he says. All right. On this week's show, we've got a quick chat with Mike Maddux, who's here with the MLB All-Stars. He's the pitching coach of the Texas Rangers, and we're going to discuss the U.S. Samurai Japan Series featuring Saturday night's no-hitter and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, the trivia question this week comes from Dave in Baltimore. He's the NPB card guy. And I think it's pretty easy. I was trying not to look at the answer because he sent it in a different file this time. But as I was doing it, I figured it out and I peeked and looked at the answer. So I have it here. So there's no surprise.
So it was like a Jeopardy. What is?
It was in Jeopardy because he sent it to me. And I kept trying not to think about it. And I was going to have it all natural on the show, and I was just trying to avoid it. But when
so
I was doing the show notes,
for me.
Yeah, when I was doing the show notes, it was for you, yeah, of course.
But oh, all right.
When I was doing the show notes, I couldn't help but think about it, and then I took a peek. So the answer is probably pretty obvious, he says, but it occurred to me the other day that there was one player active in MPB in 2014 who could have played a professional game in Korakuen Stadium. Could have, the operative words here. I don't know if he did, but he was an active player while the Giants and Fighters still played there. Who is he?
In 1987. Well, Masahiro Yamamoto.
Yep, that's who he's got there. Okay, that didn't take
you
long.
You know, I was thinking of one of the old PL guys, but the oldest other guy is 1988, who is Satoshi Nakajima of the Fighters, who is still... His career is still, as we speak, it's still active. he wasn't added to that parade of guys who are going to be former fighters.
Not yet. What are they doing? What are they waiting for?
Well, he's still a playing coach, and you know what? He only played like two games last year, so. You know, usually at that point, the guy says, well, I only played two games, so I'm, it's time for me. I think they're waiting for him to get the idea. And he's going, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, Dave writes, that Masahiro Yamamoto appeared in four games with the top team that year, 86 and 87. And
right.
Those were the last two seasons Korakuen was open, he says. And I tried to look up and find the game log to see mm-hmm. if Yamamoto pitched at that stadium, but I couldn't find it on the internet. So
it is hard, yeah, because so much of the internet data available on NPB starts in 2006.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there sometimes if you do some really hard searches, if you put in the right Japanese characters, you can come up with some
yeah, that's basically let's go to the you know the Hall of Fame and look at the old newspapers and find all his games.
Yeah, or somewhere that has a database or an office that has you know papers from way back when, like our office on the ninth floor somewhere. But oh well, I'll try to look it up.
Well, I did. I went to Korakuen. I mean, I'm not like Wayne Grassick. I didn't live there.
You didn't grow up there.
Casting games on MTV back in the day.
Right.
Which I kind of miss now, and I thought they were really full of BS at the time. But I really miss them now. They were kind of fun in a sense. Mm. But anyway, no, I went to Korakuen three times. In fact, the first game I saw at Korakuen was in 1986, was Davey Johnson managing a Major League All-Star team
in
Japan. And that was the year that they beat Japan. Davey Johnson came with a chip on his shoulder after how he'd been treated in Japanese baseball and sent packing back to the States where he hit a bunch more home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he bought a team that was determined to blow the doors off of Japan. And they every game was 10-14-0, 8-0, that kind of game.
1986, so kind of game right? 1986, it was a 7-game series and Japan won one game.
Yeah, well, I think it was probably the last game. I think
the it was the fifth game.
Was it? I was going to say they were shy from swinging the bat so often.
Right.
They weren't used to that kind of practice. They're not Japanese.
All right. So your interview, why don't you set up your interview?
Okay. Well, on Friday, the Major League Series moved to Tokyo Dome for a one-day travel day on Thursday. And I had a chance to talk with Mike Maddox, who's the Texas Rangers pitching coach.
You and a lot of other people.
Well, yeah, I did talk to him on my own, but that was actually kind of yesterday. We had a long chat, oddly enough. But the first day was a media madhouse. And all the reporters were, like, jumping at all the players, and the players were a little gun-shy. You know, who are these maniacs coming out of here? We thought we were here in Japan to enjoy ourselves, and there's all these weird Japanese reporters throwing questions at us.
Of course, yeah, they keep saying, yeah, we're here to compete. We're here to compete. They keep saying the right thing, though.
Yeah. Well, they did that a lot. And I mean, I know they obviously there's a lot of frustration that they're not competing. So anyway, Mike Maddox was very gracious. Unfortunately, I had to wait behind the Wayne and his NTV guys because they were at the corner of the media area.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to stand behind and get in the queue there. So, we talked. I'm interested because Mike Maddox is Yu Darvish's pitching coach with the Texas Rangers.
Right.
So let's hear what he had to say about things in general.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to play to win the game, and we'll see who we have to win.
And are you familiar with the Nagi Gomen, which is the Japanese throw until you drop? You drop as a pitching coach, and Japanese pitchers are accustomed to that.
Those are things that probably start with the Koshien tournament,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's probably where it starts. But it's honorable.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have a lot of samurai warrior in them,
uh-huh.
And it's admirable, mm-hmm. You know, to see guys willing to put themselves out there as long as they can.
Right. It's not really good for the arm.
So once a week, maybe you can do that. But throwing every 5 days, as we do in the major leagues, it would be hard. You have to monitor that.
Okay.
A little more rest.
Yeah. Yes, Scott.
Okay.
When you work with Darvish, he doesn't throw that much like you would if he was still here.
Darvish is kind of on a U.S. program.
Right.
On a Major League Baseball program.
Now, what was the communication process with that when Darvish came over? You know, was there a meeting of the minds, how you want to work out? Or?
We kind of said, this is our program, and he adapted to our program very quickly.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did was our side work was short and sweet. We didn't do the big, long ones at all. We just did 25 to 30 pitches, and that's pretty much been the routine all 3 years.
He's always been something of a specimen, you know, in Japan, and also
big
in terms
man.
Of his physical conditioning and his nutrition, he's a bit of a maverick here.
Yeah, you gotta pat him on the back. He's all in, very dedicated to what he does. Tremendous work ethic. As far as the diet goes, I know he has a guy that cooks for him.
Yeah.
And they're probably on top of it.
Okay, now MLB is talking about these guidelines for young pitchers. Have you heard about that in terms of pitch limits for youngsters? You know,
going to Little League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Youth baseball.
Yes.
Because there was a study done last year in which they had the states which have pitch counts in high school have fewer pitchers in MLB who are getting Tommy John surgery.
Well, I think our issue in the U.S. is select baseball.
Right.
That they implement pitch limits for this league, but then that pitcher will go out there and meet that pitch limit, then the next day play in a different league for a different team. So he abides by that league's rules, but then he's end up playing in a different league. And that's where we're stuck.
Okay.
That needs to be tightened up.
You know, the pitcher who's pitching for them today declared free agency. He might be posted to go to the Major League, Taneko. Are you familiar with him at all? You know about him?
I will be. I think you got everybody in this dugout. We're all kind of representing our team, and I think everybody's on the lookout.
Okay. So when you're, first of all, now the Japanese team here came out to play, which is a little unusual. It's a little different feel from the old All-Star games, the national team. Now you, in the majors, you have like the Royals. When you look at that, I know Yost gets a lot of flack for all the bunting. And obviously, under Washington, you had a lot of bunting. Now, how's your personally, if you've got a pitcher on the mound and a good defense, do you have a philosophy about that? Get the run to work with?
You know, you got to maximize your roster and maximize your team. If your team says to bunt, you bunt. You do what the game asks you to do.
Sure.
You know, we try to manage a team of speedsters that play in a big ballpark with no power. And we're going to play like that team is playing at Camden Yards, you know, very small place, okay. Or at Cincinnati, very small place, where guys can hit it out of the park. Well, you're probably going to manage it a little differently.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So you take your ball club and manage your team, because it's tough enough to manage your team, much less somebody else's team.
So now you've worked with Darvish. Have you worked with other Japanese pitchers? Uehara?
Tomooka?
And
Uehara?
And Tateyama? Just retired.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Oh, yeah? What
yeah,
was that?
Great personality.
Oh, yeah, he's something.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Yoshi a lot, man. Yoshinori Tateyama, man. Great guy.
That frisbee thrower.
Yeah, a lot of fun, man.
So what was your... they're all different. They're all unique. But what is it that you would say is a common trait for the pitchers to come over?
Work ethic.
Okay.
Tremendous work ethic. That's one thing they do. They all repeat their deliveries tremendously.
That's probably coming from the 200-pitch bullpens. That's what they say here.
I think it's part of that martial art that goes into their delivery. Okay. You know, it's a discipline.
So if you had a pitcher who wanted to say, "Let's say I want to be take that," what would you tell them to do with the Japanese pitchers? Watch how they do this, watch how they do that, or just be yourself and don't worry about it?
Number one, you got to be yourself. You can't be anybody else. But you can copy work ethics, you know, what works for you. What works for one man might not work for another guy.
What's your biggest surprise when you started working with Darvish?
His size.
I look up to him, too.
So. Yeah, big man. His will to be elite. You know, being good was not his goal.
Right.
Being the best is.
I remember he got into a war of words in spring training 2 years ago when there was a hard hit ball off and he's saying that wasn't a hard hit.
Oh, that one Max Venable hit?
Yeah.
Ball's hit pretty hard.
He didn't like it.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks, Mike, and thanks for all the guys for being so friendly to the media. I make them sound like they're a little media punch drunk, but they're being very gracious with their time.
Right.
And it was a pleasure yesterday. As I said, we had a longer chat about Japanese baseball and Major League Baseball and the way things work. And
mm-hmm.
It turned out he was kind of interrogating me.
Oh, he's looking for info. That's good, though.
He was sort of saying, like, what do they do here? What do they do here? I can't believe that. Why? What's going on there?
That's good. Interesting. He's picking your brain. That's
so, fun. Yeah. The other thing is we were allowed on the bench this time, which is kind of new. Used to be the bench, the clubhouse was off. The clubhouse is still off limits for us Japanese reporters. But the bench is now okay.
Huh.
So we could sit on the bench and talk. So that was nice.
Good.
So anyway, yeah. So what did you get out of that?
I mean, you know, the biggest thing for me was that basically he said everybody who's here on the team is basically scouting and looking for talent.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of things that stood out for me. And, of course, you weren't the only one asking questions. We heard Wayne Grosick at the beginning asking questions. But you know, it seems to me that the players, the coaches, all the staff, they're all here scouting and looking for major league talent or major league level talent. And I think they have seen so far in this series, we're three games in, plus they had the split squad stuff. So I think they've seen enough that they know that the talent level is considerably higher than it was in 2006 when the last time they played. And I mean, you know, the phrase, what a difference a year makes, stack eight years on top of that. And I think the the major league teams won all five games in 2006, and they could very well lose all five games this time out.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. It's not much of a stretch of imagination. So far, they got 9 hits. It's hard to believe they have 9 hits.
Yeah. Because against the split squad in Tigers, the Tigers.
Oh, well, I'm not counting that.
Right, you're not counting that. So
the series started with a wild game that showed off the MLB's bullpen depth.
Right.
At Koshien when they nearly blew a 6-run lead.
Yeah, I think they were up 8-1 at one point, and then
Japan's warm up game showed that Japan wasn't ready to hit. They lost 1-0 to a team of mostly minor leaguers from the Hawks and the Fighters.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the games in a little while, but yeah, I mean basically that was the biggest thing that stood out for me, that they're all looking for talent here.
Yeah.
And so that was the real big thing that stood out for me. And another thing was that he talked about how Darvish adapted to their program. Well, why wouldn't he?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is because I think, of course, Daisuke Matsuzaka made that an issue. My injury is because they wouldn't let me do the nage-komi, which is what we were talking about. Wayne was asking about when I jumped in.
Right, the long bullpen sessions, right.
Yeah, the marathon throwing sessions where you try to iron out the kinks in your mechanics by, you know, throwing till you drop.
Mm-hmm.
And Matsuzaka said that was to blame, but Hiroki Kuroda this summer said, no, I'm here to be in the major leagues, and why shouldn't I take advantage of the knowledge base that exists here and see how well I can do things their way?
Yeah, I mean, obviously when Darvish, and this is what we hear when a lot of Japanese pitchers go over there, and I still don't get that, and I'd like to ask them about that. But remember, Darvish had an incredible repertoire of pitches, and mm-hmm. they all told him, Yeah, that's good and fine, but let's not throw this. And they did the same thing with Makun, Masahiro Tanaka. Let's not throw this, and let's not throw so many pitches, and let's try to just refine the ones that we want to work on. And I'm like, why would you take tools away from guys? You know, if that's what they've been doing and that's how they've had success, why do we want to limit them?
You want to take the tools away from them, you know, the hammer that they can, you know, the hammer that they can't handle. Yeah, and I think, and again, this goes back to Matsuzaka. Because Matsuzaka was your typical Japanese pitcher where, you know, they expect him to throw about 6 different pitches.
Mm-hmm.
And he could throw them all, but some of them weren't that good.
Uh-huh.
And he had trouble commanding them at the major league level. And I say at the major league level not because it's pressure or anything, just because there are subtle differences to the major league, the ball. And the big difference is to the amount of time you have to prepare for the games, which is about 2 days difference. So I think that's a matter of preparation, that they feel they shouldn't be able to have all those pitches, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are major league pitchers who can do that, have 4 or 5, you know, have 6 pitches. And I think that it's, but with, you know, with Tanaka, it was a natural selection. Basically, I think he sort of went, well, the changeup really isn't doing anything for me, so let's just kind of leave that.
Right. Well, you know, that's interesting and that's fine, but I'd like to see them, you know, let the guys, at least, like you said, if they're not major league quality pitches, let's take those out, but don't limit the guys. But of course, it made sense that Darvish would go over there. He's pitching in a hitter-friendly park. I'm sure they've learned how to get their pitchers used to pitching in that park and that kind of environment. And they say, here's what we do, and let's look at your stuff, and let's take this out and that out. It doesn't seem to work here in this park. I would understand that. So I, you know, my first thought was, why wouldn't he make the adjustment? That's what he has to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think what interested me, I actually didn't get into why Yoshinori Tateyama was Mike Maddox's favorite player.
Well, he did say personality, which rung a, you know, it struck a chord with me, because I'm thinking, well, I mean, I guess nonverbal, anything that you could get that was nonverbal, because otherwise, how would you know exactly what his personality is like?
Well, I have him on my follow him on my Twitter feed, and he occasionally, he seems like a very interesting fellow from his Twitter feed, so I'll throw that in.
Okay.
But so anyway, you know, it was quite interesting, you know, in that perspective, and Darvish is kind of an unusual. He's a bit of a, you know, he's unusual in a number of respects, but he fit right in, and he's been a big surprise for them. And I was really curious to see how, you know, what, and I know he's had some great words for Maddox. I think they have a good working relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He called him like, you know, the best pitching coach in the world and the greatest guy. And I'm not tuned into you, Darvish, hyperbole, so I don't know if that's the norm or not.
I don't know either. Although, I follow him on Twitter as much as I can, and I don't see a lot of Mike Maddox stuff on his Twitter. But maybe it's when he's asked about him or something. So
he's really down to earth. You know, it's like, you know, you wouldn't think his brother was the greatest pitcher in the universe, but. But he said he loves being a pitching coach. He said it's the next best thing to playing. He was really enjoying he really enjoys that. He enjoys being here. Watching the Japanese talent, I did mention to him that Chihiro Kaneko pitched against the major leaguers for the first time using the major league ball. And he's going like, okay, yeah, I'll believe that. I'll believe that for now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure our guys have picked up a few here and there, and they
we
could
talk to the. They had balls to work with, pretty much. They've had balls to work with. The Japan team made sure they had balls, and they did something good with them because they were more or less working. And you know, I said he didn't have much with his breaking pitches, and he said, yeah, the spin pitches are going to be a problem, more difficult to master with a slicker, heavier ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, so that was the basic context. We were talking about a bunch of other sort of cultural issues after that, which was kind of fun.
All right.
About it, I did a story basically about the what did he say, the will to be elite.
Okay.
That little comment he threw out there, you know, what was your impression? You know, he's big. That's okay.
He's big, yeah. Okay. All right, well, let's talk about the series. Now, we'll save the no-hitter for last. We'll save the good stuff for the end. And we'll talk about the fact that the whole thing started with a pair of warm-up games, one for Japan and one for the major leagues, and Japan opened up, and their MO for years, since the WBC, since the World Baseball Classic started, was for them to look awful in warm-up games, and I thought that the first time in 2006 when they didn't do very well, and then when the chips are down, they win. So they first did a...
Well, they didn't look very good in almost any of the games until the end in the 2006 WBC.
Yeah, I didn't say look good. I said win.
Okay. Well, it was almost like they were trying not to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hold on, don't give away the secret.
They had some issues. So they started with a warm-up game against the SoftBank Hawks and the Nippon Ham Fighters, a split squad, and that's the team I dubbed the Ham Hawks.
Oh, that's not bad.
And they lost 1-0, and they looked terrible. And, you know, I'd love to see these split squad games more often, actually. I thought it was, like you said, some of the guys were minor leaguers, some of the guys were backup players, and the same went for the MLB team when it played and won an 8-7 game against the Giants and Tigers.
Except the Tigers and Giants team had a couple of the Samurai Japan players playing for
it. Yeah, yeah. And, that was pretty interesting. So, there was a 1-0 loss, and even Yuki Saito pitched a scoreless inning against Japan.
Yeah,
so I thought everything was...
Saito's among the guys who are stopping you from having good at-bats. I mean, you need to, you know, check something, you know, check, see what you left at the door.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. So I said, and then I remembered, I said, well, I've seen this pattern before. This is usually what happens. So, then the MLB team came out and they survived a shaky pitching performance where they got up 8-1 and then they couldn't really get guys out and they ended up winning 8-7 and I think the bases were loaded in the ninth inning. And of course, you know, Evan Longoria, one of my favorite players. He plays for the Tampa Bay Rays, and he hit a two-out grand slam. And it was just a great game. It was a really fun game.
It was a fun game, and, yeah, it was pretty exciting. I mean, it was it looked like, oh, my gosh, they're here. They're gonna mash again, which is the MO for most of the All-Star games
right.
in Japan, but didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't. So, and to be upfront, and I wrote a blog post about this the other day, and so just before game one started, I said, you know, I looked around, and I'm like, well, you know, the major league team, they throw a bunch of All-Stars together, guys who want to play, guys who are still healthy enough to play, guys who want to make the trip to Japan. Mm-hmm. And they, and like we said earlier, they come here and they say the right things. Hey, look, we're here to compete. We're not here to play around, blah, blah, blah. But I'm American, and I grew up on big league baseball, and I watch games every day here in the morning, and then I watch the MPB games at night. And, you know, it's just baseball almost all day long for me, which is great. And, you know, I know these guys, I've seen them play, and I respect them, and I cheer for them. And the big league baseball is where I started, so of course I want them to do well. I want them to do well. I'm rooting for them to do well. There's some players I look at and say, like Evan Longoria, I really like him. Of course, I'm rooting for Yasiel Puig not to strike out every at bat. please get the bat on the ball. But when the game one started, and given the travel and the unfamiliarity with each other and the Japanese players and the lack of continuity, I thought there was just no way the Major League Stars were going to win that opening game. That's just the way I felt.
That's the close game of the series right now.
Yeah. And, you know, we hear about all these imports come here and how they complain or rave, however you want to figure, about the pitchers and how you get no fastball counts. And I just figured these guys would struggle unless they got a hold of a bunch of fastballs. And it's just not going to happen. You know, they're going to have to decipher the fastballs from the forkballs. And the other fact that there's no real fastball counts and the guys are going to approach them differently. And we hear it all the time on all the JBW interviews, how guys talk about, the hitters talk about the fact that it's so hard to hit off these pitchers and they have the weird motions and they can't get their timing and it takes so long. So why would we expect the Major League All-Stars of course we're talking about this 6-year gap or this 8-year gap, because the last time they played was 2006. So the guys they faced then are not anything like the guys who they're facing now. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't think they were going to really have a chance in that first game. I thought it was going to take some time to get used to it. What was your impression being there?
Well, I thought coming into the series, when they started compiling this team, they had really big ambitions. And they had a core of players who were outstanding. And they still do have a core of players who are outstanding. The issue is the bullpen was, you know, they didn't have enough pitchers. They didn't have enough pitchers, and it's like they announced the remainder of the squad. I think what they did is send out an open invitation to any MLB players who wants to go to Japan for a paid trip with your family. And anybody who and then they waited to see who showed up at Dodger Stadium, because I think they announced it when the people arrived. Okay, he's here. Put him on the press release.
Right.
And say a couple of nice things about him.
Well, you know,
there are guys who barely played in the major leagues with this team. So,
yeah, Drew Butera with the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, they're both backup catchers. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and that being said, I remember the way in 2006 when Jerry Colangelo, who used to be an owner and run the Phoenix Suns, he said he and the NBA got together with USA Basketball and they wanted to get players to commit to X number of years to play for the team. And now this is different because this is the MLB. It's not American players, but I kept thinking, well, if the USA really wants to win the WBC at some point, that they need to copy this model that Japan is setting out and get the players together, get them to play as frequently as possible in international competition, because the way MLB has this team, it's really masquerading as a bunch of players who are playing together, but that's really not the case. They're all individuals. They're all going up there. There's really no continuity. There's always a different manager who comes over. And like I said, I just really had no feeling that this MLB team was going to compete well.
I thought they would do better, but, you know, I think we'll get on to it in a moment, but there are other issues involved. That issue has always been there. I think one difference this year, I'll say, is the quality of the team is different. And I think perhaps the monetary rewards used to be bigger. And I think the continuity of the series is an issue, because before it was an every 2 year thing.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And players were like going, I want to go again. Well, now we don't have that cadre of players who have been here before. I mean, now none of the guys who are here have ever been on a major league tour of Japan. Some of them have been here for opening day series, but essentially there's not that, in the clubhouse. Oh, I'm sure there are guys who are still in the clubhouses saying, you know, you got to go if you have this chance to go to Japan. But it's not this, I want to go to Japan, and have sushi and see things around Tokyo and visit Osaka and kick some Japanese players' butts on the field.
Yeah.
But things have changed in so many different ways that you don't have that. It's not like this, man, I'm going to do this in 2 years, but then, we don't know if they're going to have this series in 2 years. It's going to be much harder because it'll be the WBC right around the corner. But I certainly agree with you. I think Japan is ahead of the curve. Japan is still, their baseball is still a little bit of an amateur hour.
You mean NPB games in general?
No, I mean the Japan national team stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's still a bit of an amateur hour. It's still a bit of people, the organization is a bunch of people who were kind of thrown together for this project. You know, it doesn't have, Japanese baseball doesn't have years and years of experience in international competition as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's always, they used to decide the manager by finding the oldest guy who was too slow to run away.
Oh, always helpful.
Yeah, I can't catch him. He can't get away from us.
All right, so game one was at Kyocera Dome. It was a 2-0 victory for Japan. Kenta Maeda goes 5 innings. He holds the major leaguers to 2 hits. He walked a couple. He looked a little shaky early, but he struck out 2. No earned runs allowed, obviously, and it looked like he had some guys sitting on fastballs and just made them swing at pitches that were close enough and started out to look like fastballs and then dropped away. And then, he was locating pretty well, not like he had done in the regular season. But of course, his last game, I think, was October 11th. So it's not that he hadn't pitched in a long time. Some of these guys who are pitching hadn't pitched since the end of September. The major league guys,
yeah, most of them had, pitched at the end of September, the beginning of October. We had, the last one was Jeremy Guthrie, and he pitched the Game 7 of the World Series. But, yeah, the Japanese players had pitched more recently. But the other thing here is this. Mm-hmm. When the major leaguers are done, they're not going to fall camp.
Yeah, there's fall camp.
These guys were practicing for the series.
Yeah, yeah, they've been working out.
These guys have been there in the bullpen, stand sharp, as sharp as one can be in a bullpen. That's how sharp the Japanese pitchers have been.
Right. And then submariner Kazuhisa Makita came on, and he probably made the U.S. team think twice because of the way he kept tossing all this soft stuff. And I think they were, they were just saying, somebody just give me a straight pitch, something that's not bending. And then Shohei Ohtani did. He came on, and he's throwing 158 kilometers an hour on the gun, and he throws up a scoreless inning. And then Yuji Nishino, of all people who have been picked to close this thing out for game, for Samurai Japan, he's the guy they picked, and he didn't look all that great, but he got a great play at first base. First base, I said, yes, Tetsuto Yamada. What he's doing over there, I don't know, but it's the typical Japanese company. You learn how to do everything, and then we'll figure it out as we go along. So they got him at first base.
Well, they had 2 second basemen they had to pick, and only one of them can play. Both of these teams have basically 2 second basemen. So the major leaguers brought Robinson Cano and Jose Altuve, who are great players, but you can only have 1 second baseman on the field, and NPB's the same. Yamada's not going to play second if Kikuchi's there, or Josuke Kikuchi, the Hiroshima Carp. So
right.
They tried him at third, and they tried him at first in the warm-up game in Fukuoka.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, well, you know, our third baseman's Matsuda, and he's beginning to find his stroke, so let's, you know, let him compete with Genji Akaminai, who is a regular first baseman for the Rakuten Eagles. And, well, I think if those compete for very long, Genji will be being a former first baseman.
Yeah, he's not getting a lot of play. But Tetsuto Yamada, you know, his bat is worth it. I'd play him there. I mean, if he's not afraid to field the ball and take those close plays.
Yeah, he made one play where he had to make a decision, which looked uncomfortable doing. But other than that, he's been pretty good.
Right. All right. So game two, the venue changed to Tokyo Dome. This was on Friday. And it was turned into an 8-4 victory for the Samurai Japan team. And Yuki Yanagita this time, he had a triple, he had a double, 4 RBIs. And then Kikuchi had 3 hits, 2 RBIs. Nobuhiro Matsuda had 3 hits, scored 3 runs, had a home run. It wasn't all that close. 8-4 was...
Well, it was close. I mean,
it was close. It was 3-3 at one point.
Yeah, Japan had a 2-0 lead and then a 3-0 lead, and then it's 3-2 and 3-3. And so it was a close game, but Yusashi Iwakuma hadn't pitched or really practiced in 3 weeks.
Right. And looked like it.
he was okay. He made a few good pitches, but he was consistently missing up in the zone. And John Farrell, the Boston Red Sox, who's managing the MLB guys, said, look, when they make mistakes up in the zone, we're just missing them.
Mm-hmm. You know,
when we make mistakes up in the zone, they're tattooing them.
Right, right.
And that's been the series.
Yeah. And so the Japanese pitchers who are representing the major league teams, Iwakuma and then Tsuyoshi Wada, who used to pitch with the SoftBank Hawks, they combined to allow 7 earned runs on 12 hits, and 10 of the hits were off of Kuma. And
yeah,
both of their
ground ball singles mostly.
Yeah, well, he wasn't missing bats, when he did miss bats, it was way up in the zone, and then he was finding a lot more bats than he was missing.
Yeah.
Both of those guys left the mound with ERAs over 10 in the series, so that wasn't very good. And I said, you know, this is really – what could you expect from Kuma? He hadn't pitched since September 26th, and I remember in that game he didn't pitch very well at that time. And he's going up against guys who 2-3 weeks ago were in top form playing in the postseason.
He says, like, well, you know, it was such an honor to pitch in Tokyo Dome, and I'm so happy to be here and proud to be here. You know, and win or lose, it was a big thing. Well, that's the thing. It's win or lose. You know, we're here to play and, you know, and represent MLB. And Evan Longoria said, look, represent MLB and to win, because you want, when you step on the field, you want to do that, whether you're playing baseball or volleyball or playing my wife in checkers.
Right.
So they're trying to win once they get on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't really have the tools.
Right.
We saw that yesterday on Saturday.
Yeah. So then Chihiro Kaneko, he pitched 5 innings, and he wasn't horrible. I thought he pitched fairly well.
He made some mistakes and one that Longoria didn't miss.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, 2 that he didn't miss. 1, he was just a little shy. He came real close to having 2 home runs in that game.
Right, right. But 3 hits in 5 innings, 2 walks. He gave up 3 runs. He struck out 5. And again, like I said, he gave up a home run to Justin Morneau.
To Justin Morneau.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I apologize.
It was Morneau. And he said they do interviews during the game, so it's an in-game interview. And he said, look, instead of pitching to the batter, I was just trying to get a strike. And you know, it was a mistake on my part. And I'm like, you know, if you're going to throw if you're going to throw fastballs, don't throw them there, you know.
It was a get-me-over pitch, and it got over the center field wall.
Yeah, yeah, which was too bad. But then, you know, Yuki Yanagita, I think he was back to doing his thing, because I think when they put him in the leadoff spot, he stopped trying to really tear the cover off the ball, and he just tried to be more of a leadoff guy. But he was back to those same vicious swings that I saw early on in the season, and he was just awesome. And, you know, I was listening to both. I tried to put both on and listen to the conversations that were going on with the MLB announcers who are here. And watch the Japanese announcers. You know, I think Hideki Matsui was in doing the color like last night for the Japanese broadcast. So it was good to hear him. But yeah, I mean, I'm listening to all these guys and trying to get a gauge on what they're thinking. And, you know, they keep saying stuff like the MLB guys keep saying, you know, Maru's a defensive replacement. And I'm like, no, he's not.
Well, he is in the game. I mean,
he's playing that role with this team, but that's not, right.
He was a defensive substitute in that sense.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
Not during the season, but
no,
in this game.
Right. In this series, right? That's the role, like I said, that's the role on the Samurai of Japan. But that's not even the case. They're just trying to get him some time on the field because he's not playing, so they're putting him in. But, you know, Yanagita had a game. I mean, that was his night. He was the MVP. He was really he was a little bit bashful on the post game podium, but he was fun. He had a good time with it, and he had a good game. It was really good for him. So, again, Kikuchi was good. Hikaru Ito, you know, not much of a hitter, but
he had three hits.
It just shows.
He had three, scored three runs.
He scored three runs. He had two hits and an RBI. And he took advantage of some pitches up in his own. Again, you talked about some of the balls that just got through the infield. I think he had two of them.
One of them was just a roller. I've never seen as well as, you know, it was a run and hit with two outs. And I've never seen one drawn up on the board as well as that one was. You know, it was like the X's and arrows. Okay, he's a right-handed hitter. And we're going to send the runner, and the second baseman is going to go to cover second base on the stolen base attempt, and then you're going to hit the ball right where he was standing. And it was better than you could draw it.
And again, it was just a little roller, you know, and it wasn't going to hurt anybody. It wasn't even going to kill any worms. I mean, No.
It's going to bend the grass even.
Maybe. And well placed, and so I mean, again, he took advantage of some pitches that were a little bit up, and
there was a lot of that.
So they
won a lot of missed pitches, and they just, you know, they put the bat on the ball.
Yep, they did.
Mike Maddox was saying, you know, the Japanese are really aggressive hitters.
Uh-huh.
Not going. Well, in this sense, yeah, they're basically waiting on fat pitches, and they're sticking the screws into them.
Yeah, aggressive. Yeah, all right. All right, so then came Game 3 on Saturday night, and Takahiro Norimoto, the Tohoku Rakuten Eagles ace who replaced Masahiro Tanaka as the top pitcher on that team, he throws five perfect innings. The Japanese team wins 4-0 with a no-hitter, and I mean, it was a great night for MPB. I thought it was a great night for Japan. It was a great thing, but I'm thinking the whole time, I'm thinking, well, somebody's going to get a hit for the for the Major League team. You know, about the seventh inning when I started thinking, no could go all the way. I'm thinking, who's going to come out of the bullpen? And kept thinking, somebody, one of these guys is going to give up a hit. And it was so funny. Yuji Nishino, who threw a perfect ninth inning to close it out, said he was nervous. And I guess all the guys were joking. They said, you know, I felt like I was going to hurl, was the team theme in the interviews. And so Nishino got up there and he said, I felt like I was going to hurl too, but I was thinking, well, somebody will give up a hit for me, so I won't have to go out there in the ninth inning with the no hitter on the line. But it didn't happen.
He almost gave up a hit. He tried.
He tried. He got,
Carlos Santana hits a hot shot towards right field, and Ryosuke Kikuchi just goes back, and this is, you know, he got some video play for a play he made in the first game at Kyocera Dome, but this was his play of the series so far. He's made a couple of good ones, but he's been, you know, he's been as advertised. He's pretty steady, and this was pretty flashy, and he essentially put the no-hitter to bed with that one.
Yeah. And then the last out
was a ground out, was a hot shot deep to first to Yamada.
Not that hot. It was just kind of a roller, right?
Well, he was playing pretty far back on it. It got to him pretty quickly, I thought. So anyway, so that was that. Now,
so it was a banner night for, like I said, for MPB and the pitchers. And the other thing that was lost is, you know, in this pitching performance, is that Japan plays a lot of small ball. It's really well known for the small ball. And Sho Nakata had a double, and then Hayato Sakamoto drove a pitch over the wall and left for a two-run homer. And then Matsuda got on, and then Sho Nakata hits a home run. So they had two well-hit balls for home runs.
Was big for the Japanese psyche.
Yeah, so I mean,
to have your cleanup hitter get hits.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me was that they didn't play small ball and they won the game.
And that was the only thing that, you know, that was all the offense, because for the first time this series, the MLB bullpen was effective.
True.
They got outs.
True, yeah, they got outs. They did a really good job of getting out. So my impression so far through the three games is that there are a number of guys who are playing at major league level in MPV, and now the big league teams know it. And you know, when you say no hitter, I think obviously Twitter was not breaking at the hour that that game ended in the States. It was, you know, if people were getting up on the East Coast or somebody got up early on the West Coast. But I think this is sending shockwaves. I think this is going to permeate a little bit.
Well, and ripples at least.
Yeah. Okay, ripples, shockwaves, something like
same
that.
Same difference, waves of a sort.
Yeah, and someone noted on Twitter that the AL batting champion and the NL batting champion made outs in the ninth inning, the last two outs in the ninth inning. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting.
There was some frustration. Obviously, it was one of the MLB guys, when they struck out early in the game, slammed his bat, you know, after he struck out swinging. It was Takahiro Norimoto had a great game. I mean, he was just superb. And I think there's so many things going into this. And I mentioned that, you know, the consciousness or one of the things is the major leaguers lack that continuity of, you know, we're here in Japan again every two years. And the other thing that is different. And I don't know how much emphasis to put on this, to be honest. I don't know if I can overemphasize it or not, is the fact that the guys are playing for Japan. You know, it's just a name.
Mm-hmm.
They're just playing for Japan. But they're wearing the Japan uniform. Used to be representing their teams and representing NPB.
Mm-hmm.
But they were called exhibitions. This time they're not called exhibitions. There's money on the line for the winners. The Japanese team picked up 50 million yen yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting 10 million yen for every win. So they've gotten 80 of the possible 100 million yen prize money on the table.
Yep. Yeah, this is a nice little bonus.
Yeah, so it's a little bonus. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be 10, probably $10,000-$15,000 per guy. We're talking about that, but playing for your country and thinking about, well, you know, in the future I could play for Japan in the WBC. That's the MLB guys are representing their teams in MLB, and they're here to have a good time. You know, all in, not necessarily in that order.
Right.
When they step on the field, one of the announcers yesterday said, you know, they're competitive, but, you know, that's Alex Cabrera playing. You know, when he steps on the field, he's really competitive. It's what he does before and after that's the issue.
Right.
But the thing is that they're playing for Japan, and they are playing to win. Now, I've watched a lot of these MLB Japan All-Star Series in the past, and the Japanese guys are going, yes, we want to win, but we also want to show what we can do. Mm. They want to show how hard they can throw. They want to show how hard they can swing.
Yep.
It wasn't about winning. It was about playing.
Mm.
They were playing ball. This time they're playing to win. Okay, so that's one thing that's different. And the other thing that is a little different here is, you know, you said – that Japanese baseball has gotten better, and I think incrementally it has.
Mm-hmm.
But the perception has changed more than the reality. The perception at that time was, oh, these guys are good players, and it was lip service.
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys are good players, but when Ichiro Suzuki, and when he was posted, the major leaguers were here. And the news on Ichiro Suzuki's posting was like, you've got to be kidding. $13 million for this guy?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like $13 million? Who would smoke a weed to give this guy $13 million who never played in the big leagues?
Yeah.
So that we've gone from that to you know, these guys can actually play, and what you do in Japan is actually says something about the kind of player you are. So that's completely different. That, and, you know, to the guys looking for the next player, that has changed. I don't think the talent has changed, but the talent now is focused, and the realization is, you know, with the proper amount of preparation and awareness, these guys can compete at a very high level. And of course, the WBC changed that because Japan won, and America is still struggling to find an answer to that.
Right, right.
So
okay,
and then we had Kaneko.
Yeah, so let's talk about the free agents real quick, and obviously talk about Kaneko, his situation. Now, he made his decision on deadline day. Maybe he made his decision before deadline day, but he took action.
He filed for free agency on the last day,
right,
which was the 10th and, of November.
Right, and so I think, you know, I think it was one really astute tweet said that it was a good play by Kaneko. It's a win-win situation for him because he wants to be posted, and he thinks maybe he could force Ortic's hand, and that since they are going to lose him, that they would just post him and get some money,
yeah,
a monetary reward or exchange for him or some compensation in that respect.
Yes.
But my opinion is, yeah, he might be gone, but they might decide, hey, you know, we're in the running too. He's our ace. We were really close last season to getting to our goal, if that is their goal, which is to win a Pacific League title. If we don't post him,
one never knows with Oryx.
Yeah, if we don't post him and we offer him a bunch of money, we can probably get him back. So I don't think it's a given that they will post him, because you look at what's out there, there's no guarantee that he's going to. I think that the max in this new posting system is 20 million, right?
And somebody would pay it. Somebody would pay somebody would pay it.
You think so? I know that you've been you've taken that hard stance that he's worth it, but I keep saying he's 31. I mean, he's going into this next year, he's going to be 32. And he doesn't throw all that hard.
And then give him, $20 million and then give him a $30 million contract. So the major leagues, that's a bargain.
For what though? I mean, like you said, he doesn't throw that high. I just think it's a crapshoot. I think,
of course it's a crapshoot. Crapshoot.
Well, I don't know. That's pretty good odds for you.
You don't know what's going to happen until he gets there. But the point is, based on what he has and what he does, I think his stuff will play. And I think after what he showed the other day is that his best pitch is his changeup. And with the major league ball, his changeup is going to be really nasty.
Yeah. All right.
And I think and the other thing is, he's a pitcher who should age well, in the sense that what he does is know how to pitch.
Okay. I mean, I'm just not sold that Oryx is ready to give up. I think Oryx would rather, if they're going to do anything, they might not post him, and they'd rather take their chances with somebody who's unprotected and get some free agent compensation and get a live body for him rather than take the money.
No, well, that's if you're going to lose him, you're going to take, you have a choice between, okay, let's say he doesn't get the max. Let's say he gets 15 million. That's 13.7 million more than they get if he stays in Japan.
Right, but I'm just saying, okay, if they can get some young arm maybe out there,
it's probably not going to be great,
but maybe they'd rather have the body than the money. that's not a lot of money.
That would be Oryx intelligence. I think they're better off with the money. They got plenty of bodies who can pitch. Oryx has never had any trouble finding good pitchers. Now here's the other thing is, I don't think Kaneko really wants to go to the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it was kind of a late thing. I think, you know, he thought, well, if this is really lights my fire or something, yeah. But because if he did, he wouldn't be saying, well, I think I want to go to the States.
Yeah.
Well, he's made up his mind. I think if he goes, and if it's something he really wants to do,
mm-hmm,
you know, if he wants to be Darvish or Maeda or Tanaka, or Saito, he would be effective over there. But if he's sort of going because other people go, then the answer is no. And I think he's trying to decide whether he really wants to go right now. But if he wants to go, I don't think Oryx really has a lot of say in the situation right now, because again, their situation is either if he wants to go, he won't stay with Oryx unless they put, you know, he'll sign a contract with Oryx and then they'll post him and get the money back. Won't cost him anything. And I think that's what'll happen. But if Oryx says, no, we're not going to post you, I think his choices are probably A, I would prefer to stay with Oryx. But if it is a case that Oryx is saying, well, we're not going to talk about posting,
mm-hmm.
then he'll go and stay in Japan with another team.
Okay. In other free agent news, Takashi Toritani of Hanshin, he signed with agent Scott Boras, so that means he'll be holding out for a lot of money.
yeah, which means likely that he won't go to the States.
He won't go to the States, yeah, because nobody's going to want to pay for a 33-year-old.
Yeah, and he wants to be a starter, so that'll be hard. Scott Boras called him the Iron Man of Japan. And,
yeah,
know,
I saw
and
that article.
Scott Boras said how all the major league teams were salivating over Toritani, and to which I think Sandy Alderson said something that about Scott Boras's affinity for hyperbole and BS.
Slash, his mouth is moving. Okay, then Yakult catcher Ryoji Aikawa met with the Giants, and he said he came out after one meeting and said, I'm not looking at any other place than Yomiuri. And I'm like, well, dude, do you not want any money at all? You gotta use your bargaining chips here. You gotta have leverage, but,
yeah, you know, all you got to do is say I'm interested in Hanshin, and they'll go, wow, another catcher on the market, bring him here.
Yeah.
Or even back to Yokohama. You know, like, wait, we can get another catcher in the free agent market?
Right.
We keep getting one every other year, and they never work out. Let's see if the next one's lucky. Of course,
yeah.
He's actually, you know, he's a quality player, no doubt about it.
He'd be a good backup for them. He'd be the perfect backup for them.
I think the Giants front office, they have to look at every quality players on the free agent market. You know, I mean, they have to actually have an interest in signing them. It's what they do. But yes, will he make the Giants better? Absolutely. Because he's better than what they have right now. But he won't be, you know, the other thing is he won't be better than him in 6 months.
Yeah.
I think Seiji Kobayashi is going to be the best to, you know, the best catcher the Giants have had since Masahiro Abe, or excuse me, Shinosuke Abe.
Yeah, I think he's going to fill in nicely, and he's going to be a good pro. Yoshihisa Naruse and Keiji Obiki look like they're going to be the newest Yakult Swallows.
Wow.
Yeah.
They'll be the successors to the mantle of Atsushi Fujimoto, who was – I shouldn't say that because the Swallows have had two – free agents. One was Atsushi Fujimoto, brought that winning Hanshin Tigers tradition from last decade, and did nothing, barely played. And then they got Aikawa, who was a good player and really made an impact with that team.
Yeah.
So
okay, and then there's last night I saw that Tatsuhiko Kinjo is going to join the Giants as a free agent, so that gives them some more.
What they needed, another kind of veteran outfielder.
Well, you know? He'll be a good pinch hitter for them, I think. I think that's all he'll do anyway. That's all he was really doing with Yokohama. And then the curious case of Takahiro Arai and him rejoining the Carp. I don't see the plus side of this, but perhaps the Carp can chase the few remaining hits in his bat. They can chase him out. Over the course of a season somewhere. I don't know.
Jeez, I think he's going to be seeing a lot of the farm team.
Yeah.
Him and Kurihara are going to be going, you know, right back. Remember back in the day when we were competing for a job on the first team?
when we were really good hitters.
Yeah,
it's
like all rocking chairs. Kurihara, I mean, I wonder if his arm's still functioning. He's had Tommy John surgery, and he really hasn't played since.
Yeah. All right. Well, another long show. Thank you for listening to the end. Now, next week, we're going to be off. I'm going to be running the Kobe Marathon, so I'll be trying to recover on Sunday night. And so we won't have a show next week, but the following week after that, we'll be back, and hopefully we'll have an interview and be better than ever. Hopefully.
Thanks a lot for listening, and we will talk to you when we get back to not running.
Okay.
Well, all right. I'm not running all the time.
You're running that mouth. I'm sorry.
So my mouth is always running.
I'm sorry. You left
that
one.
It's the mouth doing the talking. It's not the brain.
It's not the brain. All right, guys. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks a lot. And any questions or comments, send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page. Thanks a lot and enjoy your off season. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.